Please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. And a verse in 1 Corinthians 13 that probably many of you have memorized. Some verses are easy to remember, some verses hard. This is one of those verses that's rather easy to remember. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. And the last verse of the chapter. And it reads, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity or love. This morning, I want us to consider the subject of hope. Have you ever noticed that we live in a world with very little hope? And the answer is yes, you've noticed. Most people out there don't really have much to hope for. You read of the famous people in the world. Their personal stories read pretty pathetically. The lives that they've lived, full of heartache and sorrow. And sometimes I wonder how people carry on. You've noticed the statistics. We probably live in an age of unprecedented suicide. I can remember the first time I heard about suicide. I heard of somebody I knew who'd committed suicide. I found it almost impossible to believe. It's all over now. Everywhere we go, people committing suicide, people contemplating suicide, people telling you that they're contemplating suicide. What? There is the MAID concept. I'm not even sure precisely what it stands for. Medically assisted suicide. Death. There are countries in Europe. I think I saw a statistic that suggested maybe 25% of the old people take their own lives, or allow other people to take their lives for them, but it's assisted suicide. Is there hope in this world? I was just reminded of a verse as we were sitting there this morning. It's a verse in the Psalms, and it goes something like this. The Lord takes pleasure in those that hope in his mercy. Hope isn't just a thing way out there. It's not such just something that people would like if it were only true, but it isn't. Hope is something that the Lord takes pleasure in. When he sees people who hope in his mercy, he gets excited. Do you hope in his mercy? Now abideth these three: faith, hope, and love. What's that mean? That means there's as much hope around today as there was 2,000 years ago. The God of hope is still the God of hope. You got a problem? The answer is yep. You got lots of problems? The answer is yep. Is there hope? The answer is yep. It's wonderful. And if you're like me, sometimes you quote a verse in the middle of the night and you giggle. And you say, Harold, go back to sleep. All is well. The Lord loves you. You'll be all right. Now abideth these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So where does it all start? Starts in faith. Without faith, there is no hope. If you don't believe in God, you don't get to go to heaven. And if you don't get to go to heaven, you've got really good reason to have no hope. But faith leads to hope. So if you were logical in your thinking, and I certainly hope you were, you are. What are you going to do? You're going to say, if I'm going to have hope, I got to have faith. How can I get faith? But you remember Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, which says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are you going to get faith? How are you going to understand this book? Well, it wouldn't do you any harm to come to church, to keep listening to the truth of God wherever you can, getting it here, there, and everywhere. And the more of the truth of God you get, the more you end up with faith. Faith comes by hearing. And it also comes by the word of God. You hear the word of God. Sometimes you get the faith by reading it yourself, and that's the best way. Sometimes you get faith by hearing somebody else tell you about it. And you say, that's pretty good. I think I'm going to go check and get some more. How much faith do you have? Well, that's a hard question to answer, but this is maybe a little easier. Do you have more faith today than you had last week, last month, last year? And I hope you all say yes. Why? Because I keep in the word of God. The word of God gives faith. The more you know about the Savior, the more you see his truth, the more you see him as you read scripture doing marvelous things for other people. I was just pondering yesterday the fact that the Bible is full of miracles. Have you ever noticed associated with the miracles of the Bible that they are almost all totally unexpected? How is God going to send his miracle to you in some way that you don't expect? What do you say? You say, Lord, I'm going to pray. Would you please send me a miracle? I need some help. How are you going to do it? I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. I was reading last week a little bit about Jehoshaphat, and he was down along with the Israelites and the Edomites, and they ran out of water. And they cried and they said, Lord, we've got an army here and there's no water for us. What can you do? And so the Lord said, well, you dig some ditches down in that valley. And then he sent some water from Edom, of all places. And it went down in the valley and filled the ditches so that people could use the ditches as a well. And you say, Lord, we were thirsty. We didn't expect that you would send water out of nowhere from Edom. And what happens? The Moabites look at the water. They'd say it looks like blood, probably in the sunrise. It had that, and they thought the enemies had destroyed themselves, and they all ran away, and they won a tremendous victory, the people who prayed for the water. Is it possible that God might do a miracle for you? We pray to a God of hope. There are some things in Scripture that we hope for that we know they're absolutely certain we're going to get them. There are other things we're not sure how we're going to get it. All we do know is we're going to have the love of God. Faith is the foundation. From the faith comes the hope. The more you believe God, the more you're valid your hope, the more thrilling your hope will be. So, just another ponder for a moment. The concept of hopelessness. Can you imagine what it would be like to be hopeless? We often have trouble with death. And the apostle says, you know, the Christian doesn't sorrow as those who have no hope. We have hope in death. That's wonderful. Most people, when they go to a funeral, don't have any hope. Have you noticed that there aren't as many funerals as there used to be? Why is that? Well, in part because people don't have the hope they used to have. Why have a funeral if there's no hope? I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. You remember, he was in a terribly lengthy storm at sea. And if you were to turn to Acts 27, verse 20, you would read these words. And when we realized that all hope was taken away that anybody would live. What would you do if you were at sea and you said, all hope is gone, we're all going to drown? On the other hand, there is the positive side. And that is that there is hope. Scripture says our hope comes from two main sources. One is hope in God. For I will yet praise him, is what the psalmist says. Hope in God. Without God, there is no hope. Consequently, with God, there is our only hope and our great hope and our expectation of hope. Keep on hoping in God. Where's that hope come from? It comes from the Word of God. So I looked up the word hope in the concordance to find out how the Spirit of God uses that word in Scripture. And I was amazed to find that it's referred to often in the 119th Psalm. What's Psalm 119 all about? What's 150 verses all about? The Word of God. Okay, where are you going to get hope? Well, you're going to get it from the Word of God. It's going to be built on faith. You get a good, strong, solid foundation of faith from the Word of God, and then you keep reading the Word of God, and you get a good, strong foundation of hope on top of that. Just a couple of verses. You turn over to Psalm 119. Just reread them, and we read them for our encouragement. Psalm 119. There are several. We'll pick up, read one, verse number 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. That's a simple thought. That's a wonderful thought. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Nothing else necessary. God said it. That's what's going to happen. And I believe it. Marvelous. Verse number 114. Verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. When are you going to hope? Well, when you're in trouble and running away from a huge problem, whatever it is. When you need a shield to protect you from the arrows that are coming in left, right, and center. What do? I hope in thy word. All the promises of God. There's a little chorus we sing, isn't there? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Why do we hope? Because the word of God is our promise. Now, we should have announced it earlier, mentioned it earlier, but we'll mention it now. And that is, what is the definition of hope? And then I didn't look it up in the dictionary. But we basically say, I hope so. And that means it might come true. And frankly, if it were, I would like it. That's the way the world usually treats the word hope. What is the more biblical understanding of hope? And it goes like this. God said it. Therefore, it's going to happen. Therefore, I'm going to rest in it. I keep on thinking of children. I keep on thinking of Christmas. And so you say to a child, Christmas is coming. And the child says, yippee. And he hopes that he's going to get something at Christmas. Almost everyone I know found that that came true. Christmas. What happens at Christmas? The little boy says, I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think I'm going to get some presents. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think we're going to have some good food. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a good day. And it's 3 weeks away, 4 weeks away, 5 weeks away, and the little child gets all excited about it. And frankly, he has a hard time going to sleep on Christmas Eve. That's the way it should be, isn't it? I listened to a friend of mine one day tell me about the Christmas where that didn't happen. It was during the dirty 30s. He was a boy on the prairies. And on Christmas morning, his mother said to him, I'm awfully sorry, but Santa Claus didn't make it last night. And he didn't get any special anything at Christmas. He told me that when we were at work one day. I found it awfully hard to believe. He was a nice fellow, but he had a sad part in his heart. We will never be disappointed when we hope in the Lord. We don't just hope in his word. It's true that that is the foundation of our hope. Turn over to verse 147, just over your page. 147. And it says, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. You ever wept in the night? What do you do when you weep in the night? You say, Lord, you promised. And I'm going to hope in your word. By the grace of God, you go back to sleep like the psalmist did. Why? Because the word of God is sure and the hope is guaranteed. But the main theme for hope is that we hope in God. And you read that over and over. I tried to count it up in the number in the Psalms. I didn't get an accurate number, but certainly over 10, maybe far more times in the Psalms, we read the simple line, I hoped in the Lord. And I didn't write them down, unfortunately, in my notes. So I'm going to have a hard time explaining all those references to you. Our hope is in the Lord. We sing it, don't we? My hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin on Calvary. For me he lives, for me he died. And everlasting life and life he freely gives. Our hope is in the Lord. Psalm number 42. Turn to Psalm number 42. Context of Psalm number 42 is it's at the beginning of book number 2 of the Psalms. 5 books in the Psalms, 5 books in Moses, the Pentateuch. So Psalm number 42, the first book of the second, first verse of the first Psalm of the second book would relate to the first chapter of Genesis. No, the first chapter of Exodus. Sorry to get that all confused. I'll repeat it for you. The Psalm 42 is the first chapter of the second book of Psalms. Exodus chapter 1 is the first chapter of the second book of the Pentateuch. The last verse in the first book in the Pentateuch. That's the end of Genesis chapter 50, is it? What's that last verse? How does it read? In a coffin in Egypt. A strange way to end a book. What hope is there in a coffin in Egypt? Well, Joseph was in a coffin in Egypt. It was his coffin they were talking about. It was a picture of the whole nation in terrible distress in Egypt, in slavery in Egypt. Joseph in a coffin in Egypt, a picture of it all. What happened? the Lord sent his deliverance according to his promise. And they went back to the land of Canaan. And you remember Moses was very particular and insisted that they bring the coffin of Joseph from Egypt to be buried in the promised land. That's kind of encouraging. What's the theme of Psalm 42 and 43? You just read the theme with me, and we'll just have a few comments because time is mostly gone. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Chapter 43 and verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Is that an encouragement to hope in God? Yeah, that's what it's all about. And you might not be able to find success anywhere else, but when you hope in God, you're hoping in a surety. You're not hoping in a fancy. You're hoping in God. When? Where? How? And chapter 42 begins with this line, as the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come before him and appear before him? Why do people hope for God? Why do people hope in God? Answer, very simple. They're thirsty, that's why. What's the terrible thing about hell? You ask the rich man who went there, what's he going to say? He says, I got thirsty. I would have longed for a drop of water. I was thirsty for God. That's hell. Can you imagine an eternity thirsting? What's God say? He says, as the hart, the deer, pants for water when it's out on the range, so my soul thirsts for God. And the answer is, you hope in God. He'll quench your thirst. Second half of the psalm is, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And the verse goes on, and it says in the middle of verse 7, the end of verse 7, all your waves and billows are gone over me. Got big problems? What's the problem? What's the analogy of waves? Well, waves are pretty rough because after you've been swamped and swamped and swamped, you realize that the waves keep coming, and each wave that comes swamps you again, and then you get another. And have you ever been like that in life? And three things go wrong, and then whammo, it's number four, and then you lose count. What would you do under those circumstances? You'd hope in God. Is God faithful? Yes. When did he start being faithful to man? Well, way back in the days of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and so on. How long ago was that? 6,000 years ago. He's got a pretty good track record, you know. People who hoped in him, they keep on hoping in him. And he keeps meeting their needs. Psalm 43 picks up the same theme as we've discovered. And verse 2 says, I guess we should read verse 1. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You ever noticed an oppression of an enemy? The evil one wants to oppress you. Very often he's got a lot of agents who oppress you as well. Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. What's the answer in all of this? Hope thou in God. Very interesting logic flow. And Psalm 43, verse 3 says, O send out thy light and thy truth. If you wanted to get hope, where would you go for it? Well, you would go for the light and the truth. Where are you going to find the light and the truth? You're going to find it in the Word of God and the God of the Word. You're going to go to the Word of God, and you're going to go to the Lord Himself. And you're going to say, Lord, I want my hope confirmed. I want to be encouraged more. I want more hope. You got the logic, didn't you? The foundation of faith. And on top of that, the foundation of hope. And on top of that, the life of love. How are you going to get to the life of love? You got to have a strong foundation of faith and a strong foundation of hope. How are you going to get strong hope? Again, verse 3 of Psalm 43. Send out thy light and truth. Let them lead me. What's the good of light and truth? If you continue walking in darkness and in error, and so you're going to lose hope. You get light and truth. You got a foundation for hope. You ignore the light and truth. Best of luck. You won't have any. What happens after that? Let them bring me to thy holy hill. The picture here is journeying. Where are you going to go? And you go to the holy hill. Where would the holy hill be? It's in Jerusalem. And there's a great big wonderful hill, Mount Moriah. And on top of that hill is the temple in the days of David. How are you going to get to the truth and the hope of God? You go to where God is. What happened after that? It says, let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. What was on the tabernacle? Sorry, what was on the holy hill? The tabernacle. A lot of people go to Jerusalem and they walk around the city, and that's really, really nice. Good to be there. And then you say, no, there's more than just that. It isn't just that I'm going to the city. I'm going to go to the hill of God. And I have had the privilege of being there and standing at the Wailing Wall, and that's all really great. But then on top of that was the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, verse number 4 says, then will I go to the altar of God. So you got to go to the light and truth that are in the Word, and then you go to the spiritually, you go to the city, and then you go to the tabernacle. And then you go to the altar in the tabernacle. And what comes after that? Unto God my exceeding joy. Where is God? Our exceeding joy. On the other side of the altar. You want your hope confirmed? Where are you going to find that? On the other side of the altar. Why do you go to the Word for truth? Because you need the truth of God. What do you do about it? You begin to obey it. What do? I say, I'm going to get closer to God, and closer to God, and closer to God, and closer to God. And you approach and approach and approach, and then you get to the point where you say, Lord, I got to get a few things straight with you. There's an altar here. I need to put some things on that altar. Maybe they're gifts. Maybe there's some sins you've got to leave there. Maybe it's a heart that you've got to say, Lord, I confess my life to you. I want you to be Lord of my life. And the man who's going to get hope is going to leave his life on the altar. What's he get when he gets there? What are the words? Exceeding joy. Raise your hand if you'd like exceeding joy. Of course you would. Okay. How are you going to get it? Well, you're going to build a foundation of faith. And on top of that, the foundation of hope. And on top of that, all the way to the other side of the altar. And there's exceeding joy. What happens after that? Well, you live the life of love. Now abide at these three, faith, hope, and love. And after that, why, love. Love just flows. It's marvelous. Absolutely wonderful. Our time is more than gone. Patience. And thank you. And we'll have something downstairs. And then we'll get together for our next meeting at 11:30. Lord, we thank you that in this huge world, with all kinds of things and enormous advertising, there's only one place we can have the guarantee of hope. And that's in the Word of God and the God of the Word. Lord, would you cause each of us to turn to you for hope? Would you build our hope strong, Lord? Strong enough to lead us, strong enough to keep us when all hope is taken away, as it was from Paul in that storm in the Mediterranean so long ago. Lord, we thank you for the promise of hope. We thank you for the certainty of hope. We thank you for the guarantee of the blessings of hope because of our wonderful God and the fact that Jesus died for me. We praise you for that. And we pray that we might live it. Lord, take us to the altar, we pray. And to the joy on the other side, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.